up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Good to see you too, Derek.
Next, we've got Pete. Pete, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. And I just realized there's four of us here.
Most of us are fantastic, including Steve. Steve, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Good to see everyone.
Yeah.
Hey.
As you've not already, please like, subscribe, share. We got some fun shows coming up, including we're going to go back, way back into probably the deepest depths of the vault that we can get to next week. So,
and we didn't do that with Swiss Family Robinson and Zorro.
No, because those were actually popular when they came out.
Oh, that's what you meant. Okay, got it.
This now next week's is going to be way back. So, but this week we didn't go that far back. We watched the Fantastic Four movie, and I will say I loved Captain America and his role in this movie. Chris Evans in this movie was amazing. Because I recognized him from Deadpool and Wolverine, right?
Yeah.
Mess. You're a mess.
Well, we've known this for a while. So, no, it is the new Fantastic Four movie that came out, First Steps, which you'll notice the baby never actually walks. But best way I can describe this is The Incredibles meets Marvel. And they took the ending from Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Except for the freezing part.
Well, yes, but the whole... Yeah. Okay, guys, this is going to be an episode full of spoilers. So if you haven't watched it already, know that there's spoilers are coming. The Silver Surfer going and sacrificing herself to defeat the bad guy when she was originally with the bad guy is the end of Frozen Empire also. So it's just... But set in Earth, was it 828 or something like that?
Yes, I think so.
An alternate Earth where imagine the Jetsons were as advanced as anything ever got. Or like the third scene in Carousel of Progress was as advanced as anything ever got. Or the top of Spaceship Earth was as advanced as anything ever got.
Well... But I mean, it's set in the 60s, right? So it's a kind of futuristic 60s because there's hover cars and there's rockets that I want to talk about this.
A lot of the Jetsons.
It's Jetsons feeling. There's rockets that are launched right next to the city and
in the city.
Yeah. And, there's technological advances that are beyond what our 60s would have.
Very much. And Galactus, who apparently is the new, think of combination between the big monster dude in Eternals / Guardians of the Galaxy ride and at the end of Loki, End Times, help bad guy that we're going to use until he got in trouble. Now they're not going to use him anymore.
Kang.
Okay.
Kang. Yes. I wonder almost as they were doing this, it looks like he originally could have tied him into a Kang character just because of the purpleness.
Yeah. I mean, Galactus is traditionally a fantastic this is a very traditional Fantastic Four story. Yes. was one of the big original 60s stories of the Fantastic Four trying to defeat Galactus, who is a devourer of worlds, as they call him. He goes around eating planets, and
And Fantastic Four came out before most of the Marvel superheroes, that especially any of them in the MCU. Fantastic Four were actually first in the Marvel verse.
Yeah, so, they're considered Marvel's first family because they were really, they're even pre-Spider-Man.
Yeah, pre-Spider-Man, yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, what about this was fantastic? And Kate, as the defender of the faith, and...
I liked it. Okay, I liked it.
Be more specific.
Yeah, I have kind of been missing Marvel a little bit because we haven't really had, I feel like, in a hot minute, a Marvel thing. And it hurts a lot that the guy who played Johnny, what was his last name? Storm? Flag? Storm? Johnny Storm? I like that actor a lot. I really liked him in Stranger Things. So I really liked him. I liked the thing.
Who was he in Stranger Things? Was he the heavy metal Eddie. Dude? Eddie. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was Eddie. Pedro Pascal can do no wrong for me. I really liked the casting of this movie. It made me laugh out loud a couple times. I looked at my husband because Casey and I watched it together. And I said, I feel like this is Ragnarok meets Jetsons. Like in a feel, like the funny of like Guardians of the Galaxy or Ragnarok. Maybe it wasn't nearly as funny as Ragnarok, but like maybe the funny of Guardians of the Galaxy meets like the Jetsons. And I liked it. I were there parts, and yeah, we'll talk about parts that I wouldn't have put in, but like I really liked that. The casting was so good. So some of the one-liners, like I said, made me laugh out loud. I really enjoyed it. I appreciate the storyline. Could the storyline have had some work? Absolutely. But like the real, again, if you haven't watched this already, go watch it before you listen to this podcast episode. Reveal of Dr. Doom in the credits. Hello. Like, I think that is going to be the next big Thanos type character. It was going to be Kang.
That's not a secret.
But I like that. I like that that's how they revealed him. I really enjoyed it. I know the rest of you didn't. So, Pete, go ahead.
No, I'm not that far against that. This movie, I did enjoy myself with this movie. I really liked, I thought it was really smart to be like, hey, this is a different universe. And to not try to cram the Fantastic Four into the 86 movies we've already had and say, yeah, they've been around the whole time, just nobody knew about it, you know, or whatever. To be like, this is another universe. This is a superhero team. They're the only superhero team on this universe or in this planet Earth. And we're going to present this as this 60s futuristic world that was kind of what the comics were like. And I did enjoy the aesthetics of the movie. And I also agree with you, Kate. I thought the casting was really solid. You know, all the main characters. I was really mad that Natasha Lyonne was in like two scenes. she was the kind of girlfriend of her.
The school teacher.
She's awesome. Yeah. And then you get her in your movie and you have her in two scenes. I'm like, but other than that's the story. There were things to like here, and Steve, you go.
My highlight was the retro futuristic feel of the movie. I enjoyed that. I feel like the casting was fine, but beyond that, I don't really have much more to say that I really enjoyed. So,
and I would even argue that the casting wasn't all that amazing. I did not like Joseph Quinn as a Human Torch. I did not like that. He was annoying to me. He was annoying. I mean, it's just, it didn't work.
He is annoying. That's a character is annoying.
Well, right. But yeah. So, okay. So if that's what we found as fantastic about it, and you'll notice I didn't really say anything. What about this was a flop? And Steve, I'll let you jump on this bandwagon first.
It was boring. Like, I'm so over this godlike creature that's going to come and devour Earth, or this Earth, and sends a warning shot, like, just come devour the Earth. And then that battled in, like, I turned to my husband and went, the Silver Surfer is going to come back and knock him in, like 5-10 minutes before. Just not, like, I think we were talking about before, like, I wanted a little bit more, like, action. I think I'd been more happy than fighting the mole man in this movie of he's finding a way to overtake the Earth or something instead of this godlike creature.
Or the giant apes that apparently there was a whole... John Malkovich was supposed to be a bad guy in this for like the first 10-minute action scene, and they cut the whole thing.
Yeah.
Steve, I figured out what I hate more than a Marvel movie that has nothing but action scenes. A Marvel movie where nothing happens. The fights, there were two main fight scenes in this, and neither one of them was good.
I liked it.
I actually wanted some more Marvel explosions. I wanted... Okay, Pete, you talked about how, you know, it's good there in this other Earth, it's good there in the other world, but remember in Thunderbolts?
Yeah.
End credit scene? That's all shot to heck.
No.
Yes, it is, because their ship shows up.
Well, right. Their ship, because that happens after this movie.
Well, so.
But I don't know what you... I'm not sure what you're complaining about.
I think it would have been better. I think, Derek, if they had destroyed this Earth and they're off trying to find something.
Or
tied in better.
The Earth gets transported and they don't... They miss the bus type thing. And Kate, I will argue completely against you. I hated the fact that they had to bring Dr. Doom, that they brought Dr. Doom in at the end of this. Why can't you just have it? Everyone knows Dr. Doom is coming because, let's face it, the ads have been, oh, Dr. Doom is coming. So him at the end of this was not a surprise.
What I didn't get is, why not just show us Robert Downey Jr. if you're going to do that?
Especially because he actually was the one that shot the scene.
Yeah.
And because they tried to make it like some of the Thanos reveals at some of the end of the others, and it just didn't work because they had made so much publicly of Robert Downey Jr. is going to be Dr. Doom in Doomsday.
Right.
Which, by the way, I hate that. I hate that they brought him in to be Dr. Doom.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole nother topic. But my biggest complaint about this was nothing happens, and I didn't understand how the Pedro Pascal character... Okay, so he's Elastigirl, but doesn't use it?
Well, he did a little bit.
Well, but not really to help much.
That's fair.
And, I mean, he's smart, and he can stretch. He got the... Of the four, okay, you could argue the Thing got the raw deal because of, you know, he's all rock. But other than that, I would say some of his powers are among the weakest. So... Kate, what didn't work for you?
Yeah. So Casey, because you all know I do wibbly wobbly, timey wimey, alternate universe things. So I had to, like, Casey kind of be like, okay, so this is like an alternate universe world. Like, this is an alternate universe Earth. And I was like, oh, what? And then he was like, okay, remember in Doctor Doom and in Loki? And so we kind of had to... So confused Kate came out a little bit. There were parts that were slow. There were parts that were slow. One part that made me kind of go, okay, is like, he's like scans for the baby. And then we see the, and I'm walking through New York and I'm knocking over buildings just because I'm a big dude and I can.
Remember and then he, like, went to her stomach.
Oh, excellent. I didn't notice that. And then it was like, I'm a step.
Wait a minute. Maybe I should stand again because this feels like a trap.
Like that, I was like, okay. I got Silver Surfer coming back, but I also, I will be honest, I know less than nothing about Fantastic Four. The only group that I know less about now that I've watched this movie than Fantastic Four is the X-Men, which I need to do more research on the X-Men because I think I would like that. But so I didn't have any spoilers that like Silver Surfer was going to come in and all that stuff. But I, to be honest, I forgot that Doctor Doom is the next big bad, partly because there's just been so little of Marvel come out that I kind of just forgot.
Well, this is the third movie this year.
What were the other ones? Thunderbolts and...
And Captain America. Red Hulk.
Oh, okay.
Captain America meets Indiana Jones.
And I just realized that this, in my opinion, this was The Incredibles meets the Jetsons. It's kind of... It wasn't that Thor Ragnarok. It was The Incredibles meets the Jetsons. So I would like a little bit... I would have liked... Since this is like in this MC universe, this is their first... induction, right? This is
In the MCU.
I would have liked a little bit more of a backstory. Give me like a little bit more of their origin. The thing was, were they all born this way? Were they like, did something happen? Was it so? That's what I'm saying is like, I don't know anything about the Fantastic Four. So I would have liked maybe just like a little bit more backstory to give me. Like, why isn't the thing going and approaching the teacher? Is there like trauma there? Is there, well, so, that like, felt a little bit like I didn't know the whole story.
Well, he's a big rock.
He's made of rocks. Yeah. That's why he doesn't go.
That's fine. Rocks can have feelings too, folks. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's fine. So yeah, I overall liked it. And yeah, there were things that I would fix and I would change and like, all right, we're just going to jump in this ship and we're just going to shoot out of the universe. Okay, we're just going to do that. And she's like super pregnant. So there were things that I kind of had to take.
Literally super pregnant.
Yeah.
Literally super pregnant. So I don't remember who started. Pete, have you gone on this one?
I have not, no.
Okay, go ahead.
So I think Steve said it in a way... Coming out of this movie, I saw it in the theaters, and coming out of this movie, I thought, if I'd seen this movie 10 years ago, I think I would have loved it. But we've done this so many times now that it felt just like a slight variation on something we've seen four or five times.
Especially Eternals.
Eternals, it felt... I don't know. I can probably list three or four others. It certainly doesn't help that they've done Fantastic Four before and even done Silver Surfer before. I do think this is better than any of those are. But this was, it was, I know Kate said it was funny. I didn't get that. There were some jokes early on, but like once the Surfer shows up, it was like, very serious, very, you know, like world is going to end and all these things.
Really? You didn't get any jokes out of Johnny Storm joking and them joking with him about a relationship and like, why can't I find anyone? Like, why is it that the first girl that I find remotely interesting is out to kill the world? Like, that didn't make you chuckle at all?
No. I didn't find the movie very funny, and nowadays I need humor in my... I mean, especially Fantastic Four is a fairly silly superhero team. I mean, that your lead guy is stretchy. I will say, you know, you complained about not using stretchy much.
Man.
It generally doesn't look good. I thought they did really well with him to one, limit it. And then when they used it, it mostly looked pretty good, except I would agree with that,
except for when he's on the rack.
Yeah, yeah, when Galactus is stretching him, that looked dumb. But most of it, they did pretty well. When you look back, go and watch like the first one with Steve Rogers in it, and the stretchy stuff in that, it looks horrible.
Yeah. And most of the time for the stretchiness, I noticed when they would show him reaching, then they would just show the arm, or they would just, so it, you didn't have to see that it was his body truly stretching, which I thought.
Did anybody else, when he was stretching, want him to like let go of him and have him go?
Yeah, I thought that's what he was going to do. That would have been funny. That would have been funny.
They needed to do that at some point. Well, and again, the problem is the Incredibles exists, right? And so Elastic Woman, like there's that great scene in the first Incredibles movie where she's sneaking into the base and she's like trapped between the doors and like her back half is doing one thing and her front half is doing, and there's nothing as good as that in this movie. And, you know, so it's like no one's done Fantastic Four better than the Incredibles did. And, you know, so
Sue Storm was Violet.
Right. Yeah, no, each, I mean, they switched up who had it, but it was basically.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you know, it really does mirror the Incredible. Interesting.
Yeah, no shit.
Sorry. I thought of that.
Well, I mean, Brad Bird mixed it up because, I mean, he basically took the Fantastic Four, but he was like, well, mom's got to be flexible. Dad's got to be strong. The teenage daughter feels like she's invisible. And the little boy is all hyper. So he's the fast one. So that's how he laid out the characters.
And then the baby can turn into fire.
Well, and the baby we had, we didn't think that they're not special. They're not special. They're not special. Then at the end, they save everybody because they have the powers.
Right. Yeah. So, It's not that I think this is a bad movie. It was a fine movie. I saw it in the theaters. I wasn't upset that I paid to see it. But there was a lot of stuff that made me not want to come back to it. And I agree with the guys here. It was a little boring. I'm kind of in the middle because I didn't hate it, but there were some boring parts to this movie. So
that's fair. Okay.
I did like the action sequence. I mean, Derek said bad action sequence. I liked when they went to see Galactus.
That was the better of the two.
I thought that action sequence was pretty good. I thought the finale was very uninspired.
Yes. I would have rather seen him go after the balls with Syndrome. But, okay. We've kind of touched on this before, but I think it's worth coming back to. Can we all agree that basically the height of the MCU was Endgame?
Certainly, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I would agree with that 100% also. And that most stuff lately, especially this year, has been not good. Especially compared to that. So, how can, we've talked about, you know, it has Marvel jumped over the edge and all that, but what would you do to return the MCU to greatness? And I have I know what I would do, and I'm going to go first on this one. I would take somewhere between a 2 and 3 year break of any MCU movies, and then you come back with Doctor Doom and all of them. And I mean, there's no TV shows, there's no nothing. Take a 3 year break because we are in such superhero fatigue right now that as Pete said, we see this 10 years ago, we probably like it more than we do now. But you have to understand the MCU has been going on for over 25 years.
No, not over 15 years, but.
Well, okay. When was the first Iron Man?
2009.
Oh, it was 2009. Okay. So it's over 15 years, and you've averaged over 2 movies a year.
Yeah.
So I think the biggest thing they can do is take a break.
Yeah. They are kind of in that between now and next and Doomsday.
There's only 2 series coming out.
Well, the only movie is the Sony Spider-Man movie. So there's no actual Disney Marvel movies for a year and a half, which I agree with you, Derek. Actually, I agree that I wish they would take a 2 to 3 year break, but there's too much money on the table. They're not going to do that. But at least they're going to take, at least they're not cramming movies down our throat anymore.
Yeah, but they're going to be throwing Wonder Man at us. The Vision Quest series is going to be coming at us. I mean, they're going to still be shoving stuff at us that I think takes away from other stuff.
Yeah.
So.
I also say I don't think they have any idea where they're going. I think with Endgame and Infinity War, they had a drawn-out plan.
That was set up for years.
Right. And here, I think they're just... they're sort of building as they're going, and it's not producing quality stuff.
And Jonathan Majors didn't help that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think they need to... Oh,
go ahead. Go ahead.
And then I say they need to just come up with a new novel idea. And I don't know what that is, but they need to come up with something that is off of what we're expecting. Because I watched in this movie and it sort of expected what was going to happen. Like, I want to be surprised.
And I think the... Okay, Kate, you go because you haven't had a chance to talk to you.
I just think it needs a through storyline. I think you need... And it's kind of bounces what Steve just said. You need... They need to sit down with all of the directors. I don't know. And I don't know how you do this. And write out a storyboard. That is what made Infinity War and Endgame so good, is that you can see, and I say this, I watched everything in order. You can see the through line. Even if it didn't always make sense at the time, you can go back and see the Easter egg they so delicately planted. That's what we need, in my opinion, is because right now it feels like they're just throwing stuff at the wall and seeing if it sticks. Yeah. And there isn't
Robert Downey Jr. and because we got to have his box office name.
Yeah, and there isn't like a through line. And I don't know if when they created the original Captain America, the original Iron Man, all the original things, my guess is they didn't have quite a through line yet. Maybe they did. Maybe they knew the whole time all of the phases that they were going to go through. But in my opinion, that's what they need. We need a through line. We don't have a through line right now, except that like, oh, Kang is coming. Kang. And then all of a sudden, Jonathan Majors made bad decisions. So like, never mind. Kang is gone. It's Doctor Doom.
They all look the same because Iron Man replaced a actor. So,
well, and I mean, Don Cheadle replaced someone, right? In Warhammer.
In Iron Man. From Iron Man. Yeah, that's what I was just talking about. Yeah.
We just need, they need to, in my opinion, and this could be happening on the back end and we don't know. They need to stop just trying to create random stuff, throwing stuff at the wall, and like sit down with their creatives and make a through line. Go ahead, Derek.
And okay, if they're going to keep coming out with movies, fine. They've been teasing it. Give me a mutant movie. Give me two or three movies of these are the mutants that you need to, the main mutants you need to know. Give me an MCU Wolverine movie. Give, or whatever other mutants you're going to be using. And because none of the other stuff, I mean, Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, because Deadpool is not canon. Deadpool is not MCU.
Right.
And none of the other Sony stuff is MCU. So give me two or three mutant movies. And then, okay, so these mutants you've gotten to kind of know and like, now we're going to stick them in with the Avengers. Because I've heard rumors on what the plot line for Doomsday is, and if it's true, they might as well shut it down now, just because it's not going to be great. And we can talk about that off. But I just... give me something that's not Captain America and whatever Iron Man replacement you're going to throw in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't really had a chance to comment, but I've said this before. The mistake they made in the post Endgame phase is they should have picked, I don't know, four or five major characters and focused the stories on them. That's what they did leading up to Infinity War and Endgame, is it was Captain America, it was Thor, it was Iron Man, And then addition, Black Widow and Hawkeye and Hulk, right? It was the six Avengers. And they even very wisely, you know, said in Infinity War, we're going to wipe out a whole bunch of characters, but we're going to keep these six because there are three. And this is with Kate's through line, you know. I've brought this up before. Right after Endgame, one of the next movies, Shang-Chi, pretty good movie. It was. Yeah. I didn't love the ending.
I liked it,
but it was you know a very solid movie. Good character, interesting character, different from the other characters. We have not seen him once in 4 years, and now he's going to show up in Doomsday. Great, but we have really no. We so 5 years after he shows up in his one movie, he's going to show up in this movie, and almost every character is going to be like that because they've just been throwing movies out and throwing TV series out. I really wish that they would have had more focus in this phase. I think just having so many characters, and even it's. Kind of even with Fantastic Four, it's like these are major characters. Well, we're going to throw one movie out and then we're going to put them in with everybody else. And so, great. Our next movie, we're going to have 85 actors in it and they're each going to get 5 seconds of screen time and it's going to be awesome. You know, I know they got away with it in Infinity War. I just don't feel like it's going to happen with Doomsday because we're going to see a whole pile of characters we haven't seen in 3 or 4 years and be like, who?
So yeah,
that's fair.
Hey, other thoughts about the movie? I mean, we hit it pretty good, but anything anyone wants to just jump out and say that hadn't been covered already?
Nope.
Okay. So as we always do, we do cups of pixie dust out of 5 for the Fantastic Four. Kate.
3.
I give it a 2.5. I was thinking of about a 3. And then when we were leading up to this, I decided I didn't really want to see it again. So I'm only giving it 2.5. So 2.5.
Derek, what did I give Thunderbolts?
You gave Thunderbolts a 2.5.
This is a 2 then. I'd rather watch Thunderbolts again than this.
What did I give Thunderbolts?
You gave Thunderbolts a 3.
Okay.
And Pete, you gave it a 3.5.
Yeah, I liked Thunderbolts a lot better than this. So, yeah.
I also liked Thunderbolts better than this. I only gave Thunderbolts a 1.5. So that puts this at a 1 for me. I didn't hate it. I just have no idea why I spent those 2 hours.
I thought of all the Marvel movies that this would have been one that you would have liked because there wasn't as much action. I'm surprised.
But there was nothing.
That's fair.
So, Kate, what are we up to?
Was anybody else annoyed by... This is another thing that annoyed me about the plot. We're going to build this... We got this idea. We're going to build this world-saving device. We're going to bring the whole world together, and it'll do this, and we'll... Even if it's a ridiculous idea, it's going to save everybody, blah, blah, blah. And they spend, like, I don't know, a half hour of the movie on it, it felt like. And then, like, boom, nope, that didn't work.
And how she can wipe out everything around the world in like 2 minutes.
And I was like, well, what was that 30 minutes about then? I was kind of like getting into like, oh, it's they're uniting everybody in the world in a common cause. And
there was a country in that was when they scrolled past, there was a country that was not present.
Yeah, that's Dr. Doom's country. That's Latveria.
Okay,
that was a Doctor Doom reference.
Okay,
yeah, when they were showing the one flag that was a reference to because Doctor Doom is the leader of Latveria, which was back in the day it was supposed to be kind of like a communist Iron Curtain country. Gotcha. So,
okay, Kate, what do we got for Disney Plus news this week?
Yeah, the only thing we have for Disney Plus news is Percy Jackson season 2 will come out on Disney Plus on December 10th. That's it.
Yeah, and it has been renewed for season 3 already, I believe.
Yes, it has. So, well, they got to film them quick just because the actors will start aging out.
Yeah.
So, okay, next week we are going way, way, way deep, deep, deep into the Disney Plus vault with Something Wicked This Way Comes. Has nothing to do with the Scottish play, unfortunately. but that's where the title comes from, is from the three witches in Macbeth.
Oh, Macbeth, sorry. I knew that.
Yeah. So it's a story by Ray Bradbury. And this is a movie that came out bombed at the box office. Absolutely bombed. Like, lost the budget of $20 million and it made $8 million, or $20 million and it made $4 million, or something like that.
I remember this movie coming out and I was pretty young kid. Is this 82?
'83.
Okay. And the trailers scaring the bejesus out of me, that I did not want to see it.
God, I don't remember this movie at all.
Well, because it's been gone for 30 years. Like, you couldn't get it. It just came out on Disney Plus, and it's been, you know, Derek's talking about in the vault. This movie was in the vault.
Yeah. Kate was on Blu-ray for the first time in 2021.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, just came out to the vault beginning of this last month. And really, I don't have, you say, Steve and Pete, you guys saw it on VHS?
I think I saw it on VHS.
I never saw it again because the trailer freaked me out when I was a kid.
I don't have any record of it being on VHS.
I honestly thought it was an R-rated movie until this release, and it's only PG.
It's labeled as a dark fantasy / horror film. Derek, I'm surprised you picked this one.
I didn't.
Oh. No. Oh, this sent by somebody?
By somebody.
Steve. No.
Yeah.
But mostly this one.
I concurred, because to me it's an interesting, I really don't think it's, as again, it's PG. I really don't think it's as scary as I thought it was when I was a kid. But
We'll see how this one goes. I will be perfectly honest, I'm not looking forward to this one, but I'll give it a shot.
Fascinating.
But so guys, we're watching that next week. We got rest of this through December filled up, but come January, February, we're going to be needing some stuff to watch. So if you've got some suggestions, email them to us at plusplatoon@gmail.com. We are on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, everywhere. We have new episodes come out every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Pete, and Steve, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews, as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @PlusPlatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.